Beams of Darkness by Sam Gabriel. From Thanks for Playing. Read by the author. Based on the works of Andrew Hussey and Clutch. Chapter 4. Conscript Deserter. Be present, Arqueous Sprite. Witness class long-range surveillance drones 838L through Q report the departure of specimen 0.05427 alpha brackets scrub from the pinnacle flight deck of Les Jean Memorial Spire, carrying Latula Lalande, Dirk Strider, Dave Strider, Roxy Harley, Jade Harley, and Jake English. It will enter Human Kingdom airspace in approximately 1 hour. You begin booting up Tyranny-class War Drone Squadrons 018 through 025, as well as Gallows-class Anti-Air Drone Squadrons 097 and 098. Ready Tyranny-class Anti-Lucis Prototype 001 purely as a precaution, and notify Terezi Pyropi that Operation Latchkey, Iteration 15378, is underway. Be past Terezi. You don't kill anyone else on the meteor. You barely even visit the meteor again, just zap in once or twice apparently to check on things, since you can't actually sense anything from it unless you're there. That's a rare thing for you now. This side of the furthest ring, there isn't much of a limit to what you can sense or how far in the future you can project. You can see clear to the door, without even trying, that much is for sure. How far will you be able to see once you're through it? You can't wait to find out. Well, you can wait. And you're going to have to wait, because this final alpha timeline you're constructing is far from an efficient playthrough of the game. There needs to be plenty of time for the heroes to come together, and plenty of time for them to become seriously afraid of you. To let that dread settle in. That's why you left the meteor alone for the rest of the trip, to get that process started early. And that's why you chose this exact moment, when everyone is just about to cross over into the new session's veil, to murder John Egbert. Not your John Egbert, of course. Your John Egbert zaps you away just moments before Jade Harley walks back onto the deck of the battleship to find her John Egbert in a mangled, heroic mess with a chalk outline around him. She's too shocked to be afraid at first. But you knew she'd run over to him in that exact way, and sink to her knees in that exact way, so you had a firing solution ready to atomize John Egbert's remains from above. So close that it singes her godhood, so powerful that it cuts through every deck of her ship. And when she follows the trajectory of the blast up, bend up, and up and up, and sees an entire fleet of Crocker Corp brand warships screaming past overhead, each bearing the sigil of Mind, each many times the size of her now mortally wounded ship, in hot pursuit of four new friends, one of which looks extremely familiar to her. Oh, yeah. There's that fear. There's that dread. You should be able to get, a good 10 or so sweeps worth of issues out of that, maybe more. And in the short term, you get chaos. You see, Jade Harley is both an extremely lucky and unlucky girl. The island she grew up on made her the strangest combination of self-reliant and pampered, caring and distant, intelligent and self-deceiving. Her foreknowledge of the game made her wise, but also terrified her. The death of Jake Harley made her strong, but also lonely. And above all, the continued presence of her Lucis made her happy, but also far too accustomed to feeling safe. She does not feel safe now. She is also experiencing heightened fight-or-flight instincts that she is unused to coping with. She is also perhaps the most powerful example possible of a witch of space, given her natural computational abilities and the synergy of her first guardian powers. You considered her, you really did, for the various bits of spatial remodeling you need done around the Incipisphere and her implacable communion would enjoy a new pet, but no. It is very important that Jade always use her powers of her own free will, even if her hand is forced by impossible circumstances, aimed by the most perfect and subtle manipulation imaginable, and fueled by the completely understandable and justifiable panic of a bark beast. When she gathers everyone, old friends and new friends, onto the deck of the battleship and sends each of them hurtling off to various far corners of the veil one by one, with vectors chosen so hastily that she isn't even conscious of what they are and cannot recall them later no matter how hard she tries, well, it doesn't matter. That it was in fact a brilliant strategy to hide all of her friends, old and new, in different locations, with coordinates that exist in no one's mind. Because there is nowhere in the Incipisphere that anyone can hide from you, and nowhere that Jade can lay the blame but her own stupid, useless self. She'll figure out the brilliance before too long. She'll convince herself it was calculated, a product of her own genius and the self-discipline that Jake Harley instilled in her from such a very young age, and she might even be right. But the doubt will remain. And when the time comes, you'll have just the thing to stick into that doubt. In triplicate. For now, though, you give everyone about half a sweep to get to know each other over Pastor Chum and grieve and bond, and argue incessantly about what to do next, so nostalgic. And then you kill Jane Crocker, and Salix Captor, and Kanaya Mariam. Well, you say... kill. Be present, Zazerpan. Your name is Zazerpan Harley, and you're a fucking lot. You're keenly aware of this fact, and indeed have learned how to use it. To be Jade Harley's daughter is to know how to use everything at your disposal, and to be Roxy Harley's daughter is to know precisely what you have at your disposal, and to be the daughter of both is to be an unparalleled and insufferable genius, and you love it. Becky'll catch up, he always does. As a matter of fact, you beckon him to catch up right now. He's going to get all of you caught. Especially since whatever this mission is, it doesn't look like any troops went along. So the corridors are as packed as they would normally be at this time of day. It doesn't even look like most of them are aware that there's a mission happening at all. Becky points this out to you with a quirk of an ear, a twist of the head, a set of the jaw. Are the four of you wrong? Is there no mission? You shake your head and indicate the officers. The officers know. They know something is going on, which means they're the ones who can't be allowed to see you, especially the closer you get to the war room. You duck behind a corner and wave the others back, looking ahead for... But Kanaya tugs your sleeve back the way you came and points to another maintenance tunnel. She is never wrong about shortcuts, so you follow her lead and emerge from the tunnel to collide with a very important-looking... Well, fuck, it's Minister Borden. Fuck, fuck, fuck. He definitely knows all four of you, as he knows Swiffer, and that's it. The game's over, and Tuna picks the minister's clipboard up and asks him a few incredibly boring questions about some of the incredibly boring figures on it, and a few incredibly boring minutes later, Minister Borden is lost enough in his own incredibly boring thoughts that he barely notices the four of you leave. Loser. Between all of that and the constant Becky wrangling, before you know it, you're climbing out of a ventilation shaft and directly into one of the alcoves that ring the perimeter of the motherfucking war room of Les Jean Memorial Spire, and it all looks so fucking cool and it sounds amazing. Your ears won't stop twitching this way and that, taking in all the whirs and hums and jargon and adrenaline. Both human and troll, two different flavors of exciting. This is the best idea you have ever had. The four of you huddle behind a rack of servers and wait for the fun to begin. Be past Terezi.
Kanaya Mariam sits on her couch in her hastily fabricated asteroid respite block, fiddling with her lipstick and worrying. She misses Rose terribly. Oh, poor thing. You know what that's like. Maybe she'd like some company.
Zap. Hi.
Oh, it turns out little Miss Grace and Poise was not expecting to entertain this evening, and especially not a guest of this high standing. Why, hello, Terezi Pyrope.
Kanaya raises her chainsaw.
If no!
It flies out of her hand and into yours.
What? No!
Oh, how rude of me. Let me introduce you.
A mutual friend walks in and gives Kanaya a cheery wave.
This is John.
A wide-awake, anabolic dairy nightmare flows in and gives Kanaya a baleful stare.
This is Arqueous Sprite.
Her interim conciliation strides in and nearly gives Kanaya a blood pusher assault.
And she, well, she needs no introduction.
I don't even remember why I needed to be here for this.
Shush. Sometimes being a CEO means doing things you don't feel like doing, like seeing important field tests in person.
But I could just do the mindfang thing.
Shush.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna do my thing. I know you'll love it when I do my thing. Good. Kanaya?
Kanaya has not moved a muscle since her inevitable conscription entered the block. She does not respond now when you speak to her. Her wardrobe of fire cycles and she jumps.
Kanaya, I need you to try something on for me. Aqueous Sprite?
Aqueous Sprite glides toward her, with the tiara in hand. Her eyes flick to the one on John's head. He waves again. She shudders.
No.
You rev the chainsaw.
No?
No.
Oh, please. I know you don't have it in you to actually defy me, Kanaya. You're not a fucking hero. You're a seamstress with a mean streak. And I'm holding the sum total of that mean streak in my hands right now.
You twist the lipstick.
That's why you're with Rose, isn't it? Because she brings both.
You rev the chainsaw.
Halves.
You twist the lipstick.
Together.
You rev the chainsaw.
Like you're sweet. Precious, delicate ass never, never, never could.
You apply the lipstick, and a nice, wet pop rings through the block. And Aqueous Sprite drops the tiara onto Kanaya's brow.
But we're gonna help take your mind off of that. Arkles, take her for a test drive.
Right away, my good bitch. Commencing Crocker Corp Unreal Thoughtwave Tiara Top Model 111003 Colonel Sprite Assisted Field Attunement Alpha Test.
Kanaya stands there, shaking. Her wardrobe of fire cycles.
Is something supposed to be happening?
Kanaya screams as well, but not for the same reason. John does scream for the same reason.
Arkles? Arkles?
Terribly fucking sorry, my good bitch. Feedback on the subspace channel. Adjusting.
He mops his brow, and you resist the urge to do the same. Technology is something you can't really predict. You can predict the predictions of experts, but... John stops screaming. So does her intermittent conniption. Kanaya doesn't. You storm over and rip the tiara off her head.
Oh, fucking relax. It's not even real.
You snap it in half. Kanaya blinks.
She's wearing the real one. Isn't that right?
You look over your shoulder. Nothing.
I said, isn't that right?
Fucking stop shouting. Head hurts. What did you do on enemy way? Hide it in my tiara?
Made a double. Switched them out last night.
Oh, you sneaky little bitch.
Are we cool?
That's a sea cucumber, girl. What do you want me to do?
Your glasses fill Kanaya's vision. And you see your brow more furrowed than you would have expected. Why aren't you having more fun? Oh well. Sometimes being a CEO means doing things you don't feel like doing.
Do the mindfang thing.
Wait, please.
You take a moment. Look into your mind. And imagine what would happen if you raised your hand. Her instant compliance would not do the mindfang thing.
Do you have a question for me?
You're just going to control me anyway. Well, what was all that even for?
Kanaya Mariam's eyes would widen.
That was for her. For the Empress, you wanted to torture one last person for her.
You pale your way, I'll pale my way.
You're sick.
I'm complex.
No, you're not. I don't think you're complex at all, Therese.
Stop trying to fucking psychoanalyze me, Kanaya. It is not helping you beat the you are Rose but worse allegations. More to the point, it is pissing me off, and it is definitely not gonna save you. If it helps, I didn't actually mean what I said before, you know, about you and Rose or whatever. I don't actually mean most of what I say. That's not really the point of me.
What the fucking hell is the point of you?
Jury's out. Kanaya, look. I never had a problem with you, and I don't think you're a loser, you do. And that's the only reason what I said worked on you. And if I could do that, just convince you to do what I want for as long as I want you to do it, I would love to do that, Kanaya. I would love to have a real fucking friend.
That's not what a friend is, Teresi.
And you are not what this timeline needs. Not the version of you that has a choice. Because the things I want you to do are, well, the term I use is temporally load-bearing. Let me show you something, Kanaya. A new hobby of mine.
You would remove from your Silodex a group of objects.
Just started collecting a sweep or two back.
Celestial objects.
Added to it over time.
Five of them. You would point to two.
Prospect and Durs. Just the moons. From two whole universes ago. See that scarring on the surface? That's from Jack, Kanaya. Snagged them both just in time.
You would point to another.
A meteor. Last universe. Nothing special about it, really, except that it was about to fall on Dave Strider's hive. And the person who was supposed to stop it, well, accidents happen.
You would point to another.
That's a pulsar, the size of a marble. From this universe. It's one of thousands. They're spread over the entire veil. Make it really hard for Jade to navigate.
You would point to the last.
This is Earth. Second edition. Bit water damaged, bit meteor damaged, bit red miles damaged. But it is the most important piece in my entire collection because it is headed to the next universe. And in the next universe, it is going to be the setting of not one, but two masterpieces. Stories that have to be told. And the fact that I have it right now is part of both of those stories. And I have it because it was shrink-wrapped, gift-wrapped, and hand-delivered to me by you, Kanaya. Just like the rest of my collection was. You just haven't done it yet. And there are many, many, many more things that you haven't done yet. Good things, bad things, doesn't matter. I need them done, so Skaia needs them done, so they will be done. And you won't do them willingly, no matter what I say to you or what I do to you. And is there a Kanaya Mariam out there who would? If I go far enough back, say the right things, do the right things at the right times in the right ways, sure. I wasn't lying about your mean streak. I mean, I'm learning things about Jane you wouldn't believe. And you know what? There is a Kanaya Mariam out there who would defy me, too. Who would be mighty. Who would fight me alongside Rose Lalonde until the bitter end. But we don't have that, Kanaya Mariam. We have you. And taking you, this you, from this rose, has more narrative power than you can imagine.
Kanaya Mariam would look at John Egbert's tiara, and watery jade would begin to fill her eyes.
And no, you're not getting one of those. I've learned that they have a shelf life, that they give people a shelf life, so the best and brightest at Crocker Corp designed something more permanent. And that, Kanaya, is the thing I need you to try on for me. Beta testing, debugging, you know. After all, John's gonna need one too. And his needs to be perfect. So in gratitude for that, payment for services rendered, I'm going to have my various associates make sure you don't actually experience any of what's in store for you. Because your mind is vestigial at this point. Because none of this was about you. And in a universe like this one, Kanaya, that should be of at least some comfort to you.
Kanaya Mariam would spit in your face. You would not move. You would not wipe it away. And from that point on, events would play out precisely as if you had not raised your hand. So you do not raise your hand.
Do the fucking mind fang thing, Mina.
You got it, bitch.
Kanaya Mariam forgets her own name. You forget where you're going next.
Ark, where are we going next?
Frostbit Moon 1.47852 Beta Brackets Scrub.
John, that. Two sweeps back. Be ready to zap us there and back on my mark.
He nods. You rev the chainsaw. And the Sylph of Space's first moment of godhood is one of pain.
Be present, Tuna. Your name is Bituna Lalonde, and you have just barely averted disaster. Zazerpan and Becky can hear the calm chatter all over the war room just fucking fine, but you and Kanaya aren't so lucky. According to them, the action is just about to start. And it's only just this moment that you've finished patching a pair of headphones into the right data line. You turn the cans to face outward, and pull your sister next to you so you can wedge them between you. The first thing you hear is Troll Mom's voice.
Drop coordinates in T-minus 30.
Jade, are you harmonized?
I didn't copy what?
The gravity fluctuations, are you harmonized to them?
As well as I can be, yeah. It's a weird frequency today, but I think I can give someone a good 5 or 10 meters in an emergency. Any more than that, it's just too risky.
Ballistics mitigation?
Full small arms and most anti-personnel.
Most?
Good as I can give you, Dirk. Like I said, it's weird today.
We'll work with it. Okay, people, we drop manual. Latula, time.
T-minus 10.
Ripcord's on mark.
Ripcord's eye.
Ripcord's eye.
Ripcord's eye.
Ripcord's eye.
Brace for inversion in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Game go, kick flip.
Mark.
AFM.
Drop is good. I repeat, drop is good.
Dirk, do you have the sight?
Negative actual. The cloud cover is... Strike that. Visual on Crocker Corp HQ confirmed.
Jesus shit, that's a lot of drones.
Like a fucking beehive down there.
Dirk, I didn't copy that.
Spire actual. I have Charlie Hotel Quebec. Visual confirmed. Tamias testified.
Charlie Hotel Quebec, copy. Spire actual.
Taking fire. Mitigation holding.
Latula, is our ride secure?
Gallows in pursuit. Looks like 3 squads. No, this you can't handle.
Good.
Bail, then form up on Roxy.
Bailing!
Everyone, prepare to engage. Standard formation.
We're coming for you, Chaney!
You're goddamn right, Roxy. Engage!
Good hunting!
The noises that issue from the 6 comm channels sound like the apocalypse.
Latch, break left, break left!
Jake has clipped a fucking wing!
Are you okay?
I'll live!
Jade, me and Dirk need covering fire!
Got my hands full!
Now, Jade!
Aphem!
This was a terrible fucking idea.
God fucking damn it! Oh, fuck!
On my way, Mom!
Thanks, Latch. Fuck, that was close!
This is awful.
Latch, no! I saw Jade, thanks!
Be more fucking careful.
yeah, you're right.
This is the worst.
Dave, you've picked one up.
Fuck!
I don't have a clear shot. Closing!
Ow!
Why did you do this?
Jake, what are you doing, man? Fucking stop, that's a bit...
Wait, why did Troll Mom's voice cut off like that?
Oh my god. What the fuck? Latch! Latch! Oh my god. Latch!
Dave, actual, report!
Come on, wake up, Latch! Wake up! Latch! Latch! Oh my god.
Roxy, barrier.
Affirm.
Turn tech guardhead. This is Spire actual. Give me a sit rep now! That is an order!
Jake trying to take a round for me. Oh my god. Latch took it for him. Then she took 3 more. Hollow points, high caliber. One took her whole fucking arm off.
Which arm?
Jake, what the fuck? Where were you?
Which arm, Dave?
What? I got hit in the head with... Wait. Jake, was that you?
Dave, which arm?
What have I done? She ain't waking up. Who isn't? Oh my god, Latch! She ain't waking up! Dad, she ain't waking up!
Which fucking arm?
The wrong one.
Turk, do you have visual on it? Negative. Rose.
Latch, no!
Actual. We have a confirmed bell. On Gamer Ascendant. Heroic. No res.
Your human mom's scream rips apart your ears. You can't see her from this angle, but you can hear her. Both on the comms and filling the air of the war room with pain of a kind you didn't know existed in the world, and now the world is made of nothing but that pain. You are frozen, a statue. You cannot move or speak. Your sister's arms are clamped around your torso like you're the one that just died, and you can hear her, too.
Troll mother, troll mother, troll mother, troll mother, troll mother, troll mother.
Granddad's voice cuts through the noise.
I'm sorry, Rose. I'm sorry. We just have to...
What have I done?
Wait. What the fuck do you mean? What have I done?
It was supposed to be me, Dirk. It was supposed to be me. So if I was wrong, it would have just been me, but it wasn't. And I was wrong. Oh god, oh god, oh god, I was wrong, I was wrong, I was wrong. Dirk, it landed tails.
B passed to Rezzy.
The transition of the Sylph of Space kicks over a lot of dominoes at once. The most obvious one is that the heroes finally start fighting back. Rose Lalonde's grief turns her not into a rampaging angel of vengeance, but a calm, collected automaton of purpose, just like you knew it would. Some of her friends are worried about her apparent lack of emotion, but Dirk Strider, more than anyone, more so even than Dave Strider, sees in Rose Lalonde something that he has seen in the mirror every day, for the last 7 sweeps of his life, and more clearly since he threw a pair of anime sunglasses off of a roof. But he trusts it more in Rose Lalonde than he does himself. He surprises no one by proposing that the group be reorganized into a quasi-military structure, but shocks everyone, even Vriska Circuit, into unanimous acceptance when he nominates Rose Lalonde instead of himself as sole unilateral leader, just like you knew he would. Vriska Circuit, bereft of a leadership role by her own choice, throws herself into strife training like never before. You, meanwhile, consolidate your power, make public her involuntary concessions abdication to you, and solidify your hold over the session. You conquer land after land, securing their grist hordes for Krakercorp's use. You keep Lord English busy by steering him into constant conflict with Jack, Jack's equally annoying Prospecian counterpart, and, most importantly, that weirdo that's like Lord English and Jack stuffed inside a trench coat. You steal from Jade Harley the lands of wind and shade, light and rain, heating clockwork, frost and frogs, and Skaya. You don't dare unshrink them, because of course no one can know that you have the ability to do that. The heroes believe that Jade Harley is the one true advantage they have over you, and that is an essential factor in their ongoing morale, but not an essential factor to your ongoing narrative, at any rate, not nearly as essential as the one that you need. You take a deep whiff of the capture log card containing Skaya and try in vain to read its thoughts. Where the fuck is Red Glare? It's been almost 2 sweeps since you killed John. Roxy has found the ring. She's been looking for Calliope's ghost for perigees now. You need Rose to have been sitting on her vision for at least a few weeks before the time comes to make a decision, so things have never been more urgent for you or for them. You cannot possibly be defeated as things stand right now. The heroes need her. They don't even know how fucked they are. Jade isn't a real trump card. You hold all the cards and... oh. Well, now you feel like kind of an idiot. You hold all the cards. You have Skaya, you have the lands, and the Genesis Tadpole with them. Despite what the heroes can be allowed to know, you do have the means to unshrink them. All you need is the 2 rings, which you can think of several hundred ways of acquiring in the time it takes to pose the question, and Vriska Circuit will always go fight Lord English. This session is in the bag. You could win it tomorrow. And while Skaya knows that you won't win it tomorrow, it does know that eventually someone will. And that's all it cares about. It doesn't care at all how evil you act. It only cares about the results. You think about calling an audible, directly manipulating Rose Lalonde into physically finding Red Glare. Maybe you chase everyone into exactly the right spot in the furthest ring. Technically possible, but you're not prepared to act that desperate yet. And to be frank, manipulating Skaya into sending the right visions is a skill that you're going to need in the future. Too much of the upcoming scenario relies on it. So you decide that it's time for you and Skaya to do a little trust exercise. You slump in your red chair so low that you're almost reclining. Decapture log the planet Skaya, and set it floating there in your red office. It smells like nothing more or less than the sea on the land of maps and treasure. You feel a tightness around your neck, and as you narrow your eyes, you expand your mind and feel the layers upon layers of everything around you. See the world as Gamzee Mikara saw it, sees it. He's still out there. You can see him right now doing stupid shit that makes no fucking sense and yet makes all the sense in the universe when you see it in its manifold context. You could never make sense of Gamzee's mind before because you were only seeing one tiny part of a mind. and you would need many, many, many other parts to form an intelligible picture of him.
And here's the thing, Skaya. I don't know what you did to Gamzee Mikara to turn him into that, but I know what you did to me, and I know what it made me turn myself into. And let me tell you something, Skaya. There aren't words that exist to describe the tiniest fraction of what I am. Not even in the languages that you write stories in. I am bigger than you, Skaya. I am smarter than you. And I contain more multitudes than you can conceive of the existence of. And I smell you floating there like a bucket of filth and death and so many lies. I smell you, and I ask myself just how much longer and harder I am going to let you fuck me before I start to fuck you back. And you know what, Skaya? I think we've come to a consensus about this little creative partnership of ours. And let me be clear. I don't mean a consensus of you and me. I mean a consensus of me. Because I've made up my mind on how to proceed here. I've made up all of my minds.
You recapture Log the Planet, rip the card in half, and set the pieces on fire. Be present, Naya.
Give me a sit rep, Latula. That is a fucking order!
He's dying, babe. He's fucking dying! Dave, why the fuck would you do that for me, man?
It's like I told you, Lige. Nats, look out for each other. Free mask. Tears.
No!
Actual. We have no doubt. It should be me. It should be me. Babe. Bell confirmed. Turn tech godhead. Heroic. No res. Jake, what the fuck were you aiming at? I'm so sorry.
B passed to Rezi.
But that never happened, because that timeline was doomed. You order the workers of Krakacorp bases Xenon, Krypton, Neon, and Helium to release their grist hordes into open space.
Be present, Zazerpan.
Fuck! Actual, we have a confirmed bell! Tipsy nostalgic! Heroic no res, oh my fucking god, Mom!
B passed to Rezi.
But that never happened, because that timeline was doomed. You pin the land of frost and frogs to the wall of your office with Red Glare's sword, killing Echidna instantly. In a very small minority of timelines where this occurred, the Genesis Tadpole itself is sliced in half.
Be present, Becky.
Actual, it's a confirmed bell. Gardenastic. Heroic. No res. Jake, what were you fucking thinking?
B passed to Rezi.
But none of that happened, because those timelines were doomed. You hit some buttons and throw a red lever, and a black hole opens right in the fleet's path. Whether your death is heroic, just, or null is not recorded in any timeline, and in none of them are the contents of your Silodex retrievable.
B present, Dirk.
Actual. We have a confirmed bell. Golgotha's terror. Heroic. No res.
He knew.
What do you mean he knew, Turk? What the fuck did he know? Why the fuck was it heroic, Turk? He just shot himself in the head!
B passed to Rezi.
But none of that happened. Because those timelines were doomed. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and none of any of it happens at all. Because you are still sitting in your office. Smelling the planet Skaya, and waiting for it to blink. And Rose Lalande sees a tall, lean, and extremely athletic teal-blood troll wearing red sunglasses, a bright green cape, and a sad, deadened expression that seems to perk up whenever the gold blood next to her glances her way. But you can't tell. Because even if this wasn't a vision from Skaya, even if you were right next to her, you would have no idea what was in that Teal Blood's mind at all. Rose Lalande sees the cut of the Teal Blood's godhood, thinks of Dave Strider, thinks of Karkat Vantus. She sees the sigil on the teal blood's chest and thinks of you. And the rest of the dominoes fall in an avalanche.
Be present, Dirk. The mighty gale of wind, fanned by Latula's ridiculous pat or whatever the hell it is, blows her hair to absolute shit. And you're sure it does the same to everyone else's, not yours, of course. You sit in the front of the column of saddles on the monster's back. Some 30 feet in front of you, Latula does not sit, but stands goofyfoot on the monster's massive head. Below your immutable coiffure, behind your shades, your eyes rest on your daughter-in-law's back, for the want of something to look at while you fight the beginnings of airsickness that Dave, for one, will never know about, and attempt to disentangle your personal affection for the alien girl from your understanding of her role. You have always had some degree of trouble doing this, but now, with your newfound understanding of what exactly her role is, you find it more difficult than ever when it comes to her to destroy your heart. Even temporarily, even for the sake of argument. That her role is to be something so inanimate as Rose Lalonde's sword throws into sharp relief, pun unintended and therefore unwelcome, the resilience that she must possess, both to fulfill that role as well as she does, and to do so without allowing it to turn her into, well, into you.
Dirk.
Jesus Christ.
Dirk, I've opened a private comm channel. I think the wind will prevent Jade from hearing what I'm saying if I talk quietly enough. I didn't want to speak to you again on this topic before we left because I believe you would ground me from the mission if I did. And I couldn't have that, so I waited until now. And even now you're probably about to order me to jettison and return to base. Or make Jade reach around and pull the cord herself. And she would. With a sad, apologetic smile on her face, she would. Very loyal, our Jade. Very bright. But so am I, Dirk. Not brighter than her, but brighter than I seem. And more loyal than I act. So before you send me off to bed without supper and carry on making a terrible mistake without me there to stop you, I urge you to hear me out. Because I know what you know. What Rose knows. What Latch now knows. Careful, Dirk. Don't let any of that surprise show now. Wouldn't want people to think you have a fucking soul now, would you? But it's a good thing you've kept it under wraps, Dirk. That heroes and villains can't die. Because for someone who believes in something, it's very dangerous information to have. And I do believe in something, Dirk. I believe that I'm right. And that you're wrong. And the truth is, Dirk, the sad truth is, that of all the possible timelines available to us, all of the various paths we could take, a story where Dirk Strider listens to Jake English over his own judgment is one of the least likely stories to be told. But that story, Dirk, that is the only one that I see any hope within whatsoever. So I intend to write that story myself if I have to, by any means at my disposal. I'm no seer, Dirk. I'm a page. And after almost 50 years of being a page, I still don't have a clear idea of what it means. But Operation Latchkey is not our masterstroke. It is not our reward. And I am certain that this is not the first time that we have thought that it was. And Dirk, don't ask me what I mean by that, because I don't bloody know. I just know that it's true. And I know that this plan will not work. Because if it was going to work, then Terezi would do something different, something that we wouldn't be able to stop. When we get there today, she will be waiting for us, just like she was in the factory, on the moon of Durs, when we ascended, when the others arrived in our session, over and over and over and over again. Dirk, I want to turn the page. Because I am tired of reading this one. And I am tired of reading the words in the sky and doing what they say. And I am tired of reading all my lines, acting out all of my stage directions, all the bleeding fucking time, and knowing that I didn't write any of them myself. And, Dirk, I am begging you to take what I am saying seriously. Because I think that out of all the possible timelines available to us, all of the various paths we could take, this is the only one where I said these things to you. Because this is the only one where I'm daring to hope that you might listen. Turn the bloody page, Dirk. Please.
Be present, Arqueous Sprite. Witness class, long-range surveillance drones, 838L through Q, report a deviation in the flight path of specimen 0.05427 alpha brackets scrub. The Lucis reverses course and returns to Legion Memorial Spire. You begin standing down, Tyranny class war drone squadrons 018 through 025, as well as Gallows class anti-air drone squadrons 097 and 098, return Tyrant class anti-Lucis prototype 001 to standby and notify Terezi Pyrope that Operation Latchkey, iteration 15378, was aborted 30 minutes after launch. She is not best pleased by the news. Be present, Carcat. Okay, Rose, that was control. Game Girl Heavy is touched down on the flight deck. All riders disembarked and awaiting orders. Thank you, Carcat. Stand down from red alert. Rose's body discards, with a visible shudder, the additional stress it had taken on when Latch left the spire, settling down into its usual level of stress. You turn from her and raise your voice to its usual volume. Stand down, red alert! Set condition yellow throughout the spire. Pollock, Zanitz, get to the flight deck and personally escort the Prince and his team here, now, on Seer's authority. You do not have to be looking at Rose, but simply to have been her friend for nearly 23 passive-aggressive sweeps to know that she just raised one eyebrow a fraction of an inch. Your hands, at parade rest behind your back, stop her from interrupting you with a gesture. The eyebrow descends, but takes the other brow with it in a new, more dangerous downward trajectory. Route all messages through Lieutenant Perazzi, and then to me only if priority 2 or higher. We are at condition yellow, stand down, red alert. An about-face puts you directly in the firing solution of her scowl. Lieutenant Coria Perazzi immediately approaches you. You hold her off with a finger and make for the conference room as though following orders. Rose sweeps in behind you like, somewhat tautologically, an angry goddess. The soundproof door slides shut. What the fuck was that about? Oh, you think I know what's going on, Rose? Of course I don't. Not in a broader sense, a Dirk fucking Strider sense, which is why I want you to explain why you just guaranteed that he would reach me in the slowest possible manner. One phone call to the deck, and Jade could zap everyone right over here right now, this instant, so they can deal with you when you're this royally pissed the fuck off, instead of giving yourself 10 minutes to calm down. Great plan. Hand me the phone.
Knight of Blood?
Knight of Blood? You're Rose fucking Lalonde. You shouldn't have needed the Knight of Blood to tell you any of that. Sit down, chill out, have some gross human leaf juice or whatever. He has a good explanation, because of course he does, because he's Dirk. And it'll double the amount of pissed off that you are, because of course it will, because it's Dirk. So, you know, maybe start the conversation with him at half bitch instead of full bitch so you don't grub fucking explode.
10 seconds of silence. Then a laugh crawls its way out of her windhole like a slither beast. Not all of the tears that come with it are the good kind, but most are. You point to one of the chairs around the big fancy conference table, and she noddingly sits.
At least he had the good graces to make it sound like my idea. Leave it to Dirk Strider to work plausible deniability into mutiny.
I mean, it wasn't really mutiny. He just made it clear that he was returning to base no matter what orders I gave him, while not actually saying any of that directly so that I could give him the orders he wanted to receive.
Yeah, Rose, there's a word for that. It's mutiny. All right, fine. It was technically mutiny, but I trust Dirk, Carcat. I trust that he has a good reason. Like you said, of course he does. But I trusted him this morning as well. And this morning, he sold me on this, Carcat. He really, really sold me. I haven't believed in anything this much since Operation Ascend, Abscond. I don't even know. This felt like the answer, the end.
She flails her arms around a bit. It doesn't make her feel better.
If it isn't the end, that isn't his fault, of course. I just wish that it was. That it was the end, or that it was his fault. I was ready to rip out your blood pusher just now for taking the fuck care of me and my command, Carcat. Give me someone who actually fucked up, please.
I know what you mean. A chime at the door. You check the cameras.
Shit on me, is that Perazzi?
You slide the door open with a massive, irritated hand.
Lieutenant, is something on fucking fire?
Netvantis, she's been calling ever since we stood down from Red Alert. It's urgent. She needs to speak with the Seer.
Who?
Swiffer Eggmop, sir.
Give me the phone. Ephraim! Perazzi gives. Rose snatches. She does not, this time, need any prompting from you. Thank you, Lieutenant. Right call, LT. Return to your post. Ephraim! She makes herself scarce. You close the door again just in time.
You what? Feeding the... It doesn't take four people to feed a cat, Swiffer. Well, when was the last time you saw them? An hour?
A chime at the door. You check the cameras.
Rose.
Not the fuck now, Carcat. Swiffer Eggmop, you listen to me and you listen...
Rose!
What?
She whirls on you and sees what you see. She presses the phone delicately to her ear. Swiffer, don't worry about it. No, really, it's fine. I assure you. Oh, no. I'm not mad. Not at all. Not at you. Not in the least. Yes, they are a handful. Goodbye now, Swiffer. Have a wonderful evening. Rose Lalonde, High Contramander of the Provisional Armed Forces of Gaimeria, Hero of the Battle of the Bunker, Hero of the Battle of Cooperation, Mistress of the Quills of Echidna, Seer of Light, and Co-Creatrix of the Universe, drops the phone onto the elegant, smooth surface of the conference table, opens the door, and regards, with a smile on her face, the sight that greets her. Standing in the middle of a squad of guerrillarines.
Hello, human mother.
Hi, Rose.
I'm sorry.
B passed to Rezzy.
6 stupid humans and 3 stupid trolls stand triumphant on the lily pad. Well, you say stand, and you say triumphant. Jade's doing a lot more writhing and bleeding than standing, and Jake's doing a lot more trying to keep her still than standing. It isn't fatal. Her impeccable calibration made absolutely certain of that. Well, you say her impending clarification, because Arkles, of course, was the main reason that sidelining Jade went as perfectly as it did. Arkles and his brand new prosecution-class camera drones are also the only reason that you have a clear picture of what's happening on the lily pad, because Red Glare has almost perfected that shield of hers. Good for her. And after only 10 days... You can't see inside her head at all, of course. You never could, but her new friends? Mostly just surface impressions now. At least when they're around Reglare. Before long, it'll be perfect. And you won't be getting anything at all. But for now, it's kind of nice. Nostalgic, really, to have this vague an idea of what people are thinking. Only, okay, it isn't vague at all. You know these people way too well. You can fill in the gaps. The main thing holding you back now is that you still can't see their paths beyond the door. But you can fill in those gaps, too. And after they go through the door in a few minutes, you'll have a whole new universe of paths to mess with. You lean forward at your desk and give the screen a nice long lick. Hey, there she is, your main character herself. Are those the subconscious stirrings of Blackrom, you sense? Of course they are. It's Rose. If it has a pulse and makes her feel like shit, she'll get there sooner or later. She's happy right now. You can tell that. All of them are. At least a little bit. Even Jade, even in all that pain, is happy because she did it. They all did it. They won. They beat you. Good for them. Yay. Great work, team. She isn't going to be happy in a few minutes when she unshrinks Earth-Sea and puts herself in a coma. At least that's what you hope will happen. Like you say, it's going to be a few minutes before you find out. Well, you say a few minutes. It's going to be a while longer for you and your friends. John and the Sylph of Space are nice and snug in their new forever homes. Her indefinite cryopreservation is going to take a little nap. Arkles, of course, will never leave your side. And neither will Jane, you've decided. Jane has really proven herself over the last few millennia, to the point where you'd trust her even without a tiara. And the thing is, you'll have to. You think it has something to do with having been exposed to it since she was a wiggler, but the tiara has just wrecked her mind. And you've come to rely on that mind. You'll figure it out, just like you always do. You have to. She's your best friend. And where are you right now? Well, the heroes think you are nowhere. The heroes think you are dead. The heroes are wrong. And because they are wrong, Dave Strider is about to do something for the very last time. You stand from your desk in your office and walk across the bridge to the exterior observation deck of your flagship. You take a heady, indulgent sniff, and taking up the entirety of the direction that you would arbitrarily refer to as up, is a hand. It is Dave Strider's hand. You take in the aroma of the shifting of Dave Strider's fingers. It's not a lot. He is keeping very still, as still as he can. He's nervous. Poor Dave. It really is amazingly lucky for him that the most useful Dave Strider to you was a happy Dave Strider. He and Carcat will be great together. They already are great together. He's going to be an amazing Moiril or Matesprit or whatever the hell your old buddy needs. He's going to be an amazing brother to Rose, an amazing son to Dirk and Roxy, and an amazing friend to everyone else. You made sure of it. Part of making sure of it was making sure that he would be terrified of using his powers. He already was. He learned that in just about every timeline. But you really need the lesson to sink in. He needs to know how bad it can get. Exactly what kind of damage he can do by giving you extra time to play with. A burst of reddish light, and the hand in the sky stops moving. Or rather, it keeps moving, but 2.6 billion times more slowly than normal. You step back onto the bridge, give the order, land your fleet on the surface of Earth's sea, and inherit the world.
The Homestuck Fan Author Coalition is a place for authors to write, brainstorm, discuss, and collaborate. Link available in description. The music is .413 Repeating, composed and produced by Sam Gabriel. Special thanks to Sakiko. If you would like me to record a story, voiceover, or character, please get in touch with me using the contact information on my website, which is located at samgabrielvo.com. And there you can find links to other stories that I've read, my Discord server, and various ways to support me. And finally, as always, thank you for listening.